You say, I can't figure this out. I'm confused. There's too much to concern myself about. That's the time to plunge into the ocean. That's the time when you let the world come to you. And you rest in the Word of God that I am the Christ and there's nothing to do. For the Christ of my being goes before me, straightens all the crooked places, it handles every situation. And the important thing about the Christ of my being is that it only works with the Christ in everyone. It has a capacity to cut right through, to get to the center, and in union with that center everywhere, it escorts me to where I am going and to do what I am doing, so that regardless of how complicated the world gets, my world is the Christ world. Now, you're in a very complicated world at the moment. Many things are being directed at you from many sources. There are many conflicts. There are many goals. There are many cross purposes. It seems to be a confusion in which it is difficult for an individual to find the surface. He's always underwater. And yet that's not your job, to find the surface. If you know how to rest in the Word, the Christ will always see you through. We have the obligation, the opportunity, to let Christ be our way of life, so that we need not get very complicated, as people would have us do. We need not solve deep theories. Everything has been solved by the Christ. It is your job to keep it simple, straight, uncomplicated, and true. I say that for those of us who have found that this modern world has become computerized. Some of us go with the computers and some don't. Some of us understand them and some don't. But in understanding them and going with them, you are given a different kind of knowledge than a computer knowledge. The computer is in the world of man. It's in the world of material. The spirit is God's computer. And it's a different kind of computer in which everything is automatic, in which no parts go wrong, in which all the answers are always there and they don't change. So don't be intimidated by the computer world. It has its place, it will assist you. It has its wonders, they will help you. But beneath the computer world is another universe. The basic reality of life. We want never to lose that awareness that life is a simple thing. There's nothing in it to figure out. It is run by the Spirit of God, and it goes before me wherever I go. Be confident of the Christ of your being. In the midst of the computer world, it is the only one who knows that the computer world is the dream. Christ is the reality. We're living in a fast dream world these days. Some of us may be intimidated by it. We need not be. Everything is changing. You'll find that in years to come, it won't take 9 months to have a child. In fact, you'll find that in years to come, you may not be here to find it out as a human being. They won't even have children the way we have them today. Everything is changing. When we try to analyze who we are, and we come through to the man, the material man, we say, is that who I always have been? And when you follow science, you find that you weren't always a man or a woman. You were once a gorilla. You were once a tadpole. And you will be something other than a man. The change is never seen because the time difference is so great that we cannot see what we were. You will look back someday and you will wonder, now, I heard of the word human. Was I that? And what was that? You'll see it in some museum somewhere. This is a human. And you vaguely recognize it. Just as you don't recognize today your antecedents, you don't know where you've descended from, except science puts it out as a chart, and you go back to the museums and you say, oh, that was the human race. Once you were inanimate, and now you're animate. You'll find there are wallpapers in ancient Greece which you may have been. You were a picture on a wallpaper, and then you became what you know yourself to be. And these changes today are so great that we are changing by the minute. And when we try to keep up with the changes, we find that we lose track of what we are and who we are. Because we, in our reality, never change. We are always the infinite Christ. And if you're able to hold to the truth of yourself and not be persuaded by those things which pass by and claim your attention and tell you that you are now this and you are now that, you will discover that you will find the center of life and you will always be where you belong. We're going into the fifth world, we know that. But what is it? Up to now, we've been a mind. And that has two streets to it, up and down, good and bad. It's been a dream life and we don't know it. We've been dreaming. We dream of matter. We dream of the activities of matter. We dream all that we know. Everything we dream, we can touch. We can move in it. It animates us and we animate it. And yet, there's no reality to a thing in this world. But we're going into another world. we're going into a reality. That's not a dream. The dream was necessary first for several reasons. To show us that we can't determine where we're going in the dream, to make us realize that we need the competence of one who is outside the dream. And the only one who is outside the dream is your reality. In the long run, you've got to come to your reality to find your way out of the dream. You can't find it with the human mind. You can't find it with your computers. All it can do is lead you into an intricacy which does not hit the target, but seems to. And then when you finally relax and accept the simple identity of Christ, you discover the only computer which does not have to be brought to a mechanic for correction, which does not depend on anything else in this universe, which comprises the universe within itself. Slowly you become aware of the handiwork of God. Who never had any machinery to figure out how to make things work. Any objects to put into them, any ingredients to make the steel, the iron, with nothing. God has formed a true universe without hands, without a heart, without heartbeats, without breath, with nothing. And that true universe is your home. So we dive into our ocean of spirit, where suddenly all is regulated and all is one and all is the purpose fulfilled and all is correct. Nothing need be added and nothing can be subtracted. The simplest soul among us is the greatest. I and the Father are one, and there's nothing more to do. If I struggle, it's like the fellow in the straitjacket. It gets tighter on him. My motion must be in the rhythm of the Father. The Son must move in the rhythm of the Father. And only the Son knows what that rhythm is. As I look back at myself, I can see ways and means by which this dream came about. Slowly, one aspect of the dream took shape. Then another and another. And each aspect of it pulled another bit of wool over our eyes. Until we were helpless, but full of hope. And still are. Now, Father, I must be free of the dream. I have lived in it long enough, in this make-believe time world. And each time I have had a time body, I've had to lay it aside. At one time, it was the body of an animal. At one time, it was the body of a flower. At one time, it is the body of something else. I have been many, many bodies, and none of them were me. They were all time pictures, which the universe of consciousness fed me. All the people on the earth, living in a state of emotional unrest, fear, absence of reality, not knowing where to stand, where to find the living source. And then one here and one there. How old are we? You might ask yourself that. We don't know in truth, because age is not part of spirit. We have gathered information from sources which are not true to spirit. When is your birthday? How can I have a birthday? I was never born. This time body, which we call my body, is the time body that I lay down and begin over again. And in a new form, a new time body, I begin again to look and find not what God placed here, what I'm capable of seeing and feeling and touching, smelling. All very limited means of finding truth. And then mathematics comes, and I think I've got the answer. I can add things up. I can use logarithms. I can figure out, and whatever adds up, I think that's it. That goes up in smoke too. Nothing adds up. Nothing has a stable base. Even the buildings come down. The bridges come down. Tornadoes flow through the city, desecrating everything in their wake. There's no stability in the material world. It can pretend for a long time. There's no stability. And the reason is because it is operating without that substance which is enduring. There is only one substance that is enduring beyond the thousands and thousands and thousands of centuries that will live forever. And unless that substance is mine, I'm going to live in a state of awareness that is temporary. I'm going to borrow. I'm going to pretend. I'm going to hope. But I'm not going to be permanent. Only one substance can do it. And if you're not that substance, you're living on borrowed time. What is that substance? You have never seen it. You go to a jewelry store, you say the diamonds are beautiful. You go to a household appliance store, you say these gadgets are wonderful. You see beautiful paintings. You see marvelous things in the world, none of which are the substance of life. We live on the fringes. How about dwelling consciously in the substance of life? Now you know, and I know, that he who dwells in the substance of life is lifted up, will find his way into the permanent kingdom of God. And there's no other way. You must be the substance of life to make your entrance. And you can take all the doodads of this world, the most intricate ones and the simple ones, all of which are entertaining, all of which may be very instructive in certain ways. But when you put them to the test, is this the substance of life? You find that they are not. They are temporary. Transitory objects that may be wonderful to see, to use, to learn, to help you, but they lack one substance. You need that substance, for you are approaching a new life now, a life that you have always lived unknown, and you can only enter this life when you have cut your life into that level of being which is called God life. God life, which does not deal in these marvelous human things. That rust and corrode. I know I'm speaking to individuals who are looking for that substance. Now, when we learn that no other substance is on the earth, we say, well, that's strange. I see everything but that substance. I can build a house with brick. Isn't that a substance? I can build an automobile with steel. Isn't that a substance? Look at all the wonderful things I can do with all the wonderful things that I can find on the earth. They're substances. But are they? Are they divine substance? With spirit, you can travel further than an automobile can go. With spirit, you don't need the gas. With spirit, you can go 5 million miles a second. With spirit, you're at home. Because spirit is the substance of God. You've got to find it. And you'll find it in one place. You must begin at home. You must begin with, I am that spirit. I'm not going to find it outside of myself. Spirit is my name. And when I do everything but know who I am, I'll never find the substance of life. For I am the substance. But what you're looking at is not that substance. You cannot see I, but it is right where you are. You cannot touch I, but it is right where you are. You can hear I, and that will be the sign of what you are looking for. When I says, I am come, that you might have life and have it more abundantly, slowly something comes to mind. I must be silent. I must not put material self above substance. Material self must go. I must find myself. For myself is the material substance, is not the material substance. Myself is the divine, enduring, eternal substance. How can I find it? Not how can I find it, but I must find it. How will I find it? I cannot live without it. All I can do without it is pretend to be alive. And I cannot pretend very long. I'm given a lifetime and then another one and then another one. Always another one because I haven't found it. When I find it, my lifetimes are over. My life begins. The Father says, do you believe on me? And you say, I do. And the Father says, do you believe what I say? And you say, I do. Then the Father says, you are my son. You said, what is the evidence? How can I understand that I'm your son? What is it to be your son? What do I look like? What do I feel like? How do I act? What do I say? It's all a mystery. The Father says, I will teach you when you become attentive. And I will send my son into the midst of you. And then one day you find out who that son is, and you realize in the midst of me is I. I am that son. Now how can I prevent the duality of being a human being and being that son? I'm down to the basics. I'll have to read the Bible again, a different way. I'll have to read it with a new kind of purpose in which I'm not reading for entertainment or curiosity. I'm reading to find the evidence that the Son is in the Bible and that the Son is myself. And when I'm looking just for that evidence, I will find a different Bible. And then I have to go into the world with a different eye. I can't be a me looking at the world. If I am the Son and wish to be known as the Son and wish to be the Son, I must act like the Son. I must think like the Son. I must rest in the Father. And I must go to this inner self . It is the most difficult self to find until it knows that my purpose is a true one, that my purpose is not temporary, my purpose is not shallow. My purpose is to find that self, to live in that self, to be that self, at all cost. And then the Father animates the Son, who animates my being somehow, somewhere. There is a response in me, and that response is of myself to that self which is in me, and I find they are one self. When Christ speaks to me, there's no me to hear it. I'm aware that Christ is speaking, and that is who I am. Christ will tell me many things which I cannot hear from any human being in the world. But most of all, Christ will say to me, I need no words to speak to you, for you are the substance of my life. And if you can feel the activity of God in you, the words of God in you, the power of God in you, the vision of God in you, you are beginning to be alive. Now I'm looking inside. Something has drawn me there. I'm not interested in the world of computers outside. I'm not interested in what men can say to me. My only conversation is with the Spirit of God within me. That is the truth. There is no outside truth. And my neighbor, he'll find that same quality within himself. He'll become Christed. We each have that opportunity to seek deep within. And if we are aware that that is the way to find the substance we seek, we'll put our attention and our concentration in that direction, and we listen deeply so that we hear with another ear, that we feel with another feeling. We will then see with another eye. We will discover that our senses are not dependable. We go deeper than the senses. We're not interested in 20/20 vision. We're not interested in being able to hear the other fellow. We're not interested in reading. What we're interested in is that indefinable pulse which says, you have located the source of life within yourself. Now hold it, know it exists, be there, and I will give you to drink. All that you require is oneness with this source. This is the source of life. It is not outside you. You will never find it outside you. But deep within the wells of your own being, I am. When you find the source, that which happens to you is the birth of Christ. That is the beginning of life. That is when you and life are one. And from that moment on, all is provided. The substance of life comes from that source. And you must dig. You must turn everything within you into that withinness until you feel it well up within you. It's as if you were saying, "Speak, Father. Thy Son heareth." Now look inside yourself. Not to your heart, not to your physical body, not to your mind. Look inside yourself. Deeper. Find the you that never began in time. Not the you who became a child and grew to be an adult, but something deeper. Something that was you, that is you, that never grows, that has no weight, no shape, no size, something so deep that it is a mystery to you, and yet you must find it. Only then will transformation begin. When you find that substance of life, which can never be hypnotized by man, crucified by man, or influenced by man, you have found who you are. And you are on your way to the kingdom. I think a common failing is that we get trapped by our minds. We forget that truth does not come through the mind. Truth comes through the soul. Unless you're patient, unless you're aware, unless you are seeking from the soul, you're going to get into the dualities. This seems right, and that seems right, and the other seems right. Everything seems right or wrong, and you can't quite make it out. The mind will trick you that way. There's nothing you can do about it, except get out of the mind. Now, if you haven't mastered the ability to get out of the mind, that's your problem. So we'll first get out of the mind and see if we have made some progress in that. When the mind is still, real still, not thinking, not asserting, not establishing rules, but simply still, then it's up to you to find that place in your consciousness in which the higher, accurate soul tells your mind what you want to know. All true information comes from the soul. And if you've been looking into your mind for a true information, You'll be looking a long, long time. The mind is not the instrument of God. The mind is the instrument of the world mind, and it will lead you on many a fancy chase. It'll tell you one day it's brilliant, and it'll tell you another day it has the answer, and a third day it'll tell you it found a new answer. And you'll be running from one solution to the other, all because the mind is so active and brilliant. And the poor, sweet soul makes no great declarations. It just rests in the truth. And when you're ready to be still in the mind, the soul talks to you. If you haven't had a chance to find that soul intelligence, which is from the Father, then it's no wonder that you're in a state of confusion, and it's time for that to stop. Your soul is the true representative of the Father. You're going to have to live in it a little while before you're eligible to step up the ladder into the fifth world. But that is going to be this time around. You're going to have to develop this soul fidelity, the soul attention, the soul which does not speak back. And when your soul is true, when you have found the center of your soul and you can listen there, you know that you have found the hidden path. The words will come, they'll well up within you. They may be one word or two, or five or ten, whatever is required at the moment to build your confidence. And you know, I have a soul, and my soul turns out to be my identity. I am soul. My soul is one with my spirit. I am spirit. My soul and my spirit will be wed, and their child will be the Christ. And I am all three. I am the Christ. I am the product of my soul and spirit. And these three in one is who I am. And what I say and what I receive, I know to be the truth. And when the truth doesn't come, I'm not in my soul. I'm not in my spirit. And the Christ cannot speak to me. Do you see the ingredients of truth? The Christ will speak to you when you're in your soul and your spirit. You won't have to monitor the words. They will be the truth. And that truth can be anything that is required. It can heal the sick, feed the hungry, raise the dead. It has always done so. It always will. Let us dwell in your soul. That means the mind must be still. And the mind is not still when it has ideas, good ideas or bad ideas. But when it is without idea, it is still. And then he comes whose right it is, and you are blessed. The minute your soul speaks to you, you are one with the Father. That is where life begins. There's been a little degree of clarity in the world with this. Some people have had other ideas, and other ideas have been producing confusion where clarity was required. The soul is the only one representing the Father. All the brilliant intellects of the world do not represent the Father one iota, unless the Father is speaking through them, through their soul. And a brilliant man can be a soul, just as you can be a soul without being brilliant. The soul has filtered all of the universe, is ready to welcome you and say, come this way,